Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2002, The Martyrdom of Wafa Idris.
Hello. I'm sure that nearly all patriotic Americans are so embarrassed now about the Bush government's activity in the Middle East that you don't really want to hear more about it. I understand and sympathize with that feeling, but I think that the Middle East situation nevertheless merits more serious commentary. It's quite clear now that what I announced from the beginning about the Bush government's war aim in the Middle East was right on target. The aim was not primarily to catch or kill Osama bin Laden. It was to replace the Islamic fundamentalist government of Afghanistan with a puppet government that would accept handouts from the United States and do whatever it was told to do, thus ending Afghanistan's independence, bringing it under Washington's control, and eliminating Afghanistan as an obstacle to Israeli policy in the Middle East. This war aim, though never openly admitted by the Bush government, was justified to the American people with much baloney about the mistreatment of Afghan women by Muslim fundamentalists and the importance of restoring democracy to Afghanistan. So what we did with all of our cruise missiles, laser-guided bombs, and so-called daisy cutters was overthrow the real government of Afghanistan and replace it with a coalition of gangsters willing to accept bribes from Washington and headed by a yes man who will say to the TV cameras whatever he is told to say. Does this make America more secure or serve genuine American interests in any other way? Well, it does ensure a much larger supply of heroin on America's streets and school playgrounds. Afghanistan used to be the world's largest source of opium, heroin, and related drugs. The Taliban government put an end to that for religious reasons by outlawing the growing of opium poppies. The first act of the gangster government installed by George Bush and headed by Hamid Karzai has been to scrap the ban on opium production. It's a big source of money for the gangsters. And gangsters is indeed the proper term for the motley assortment of warlords who have been armed and financed by the United States and who now have replaced the Taliban government, at least in Kabul. While American aircraft continue to bomb areas of stubborn patriotic resistance in Afghanistan, the Bush government is making plans for attacking the next country on Israel's hit list as soon as the munitions factories can replenish its depleted supply of cruise missiles. George Bush, in fact, is carrying out step by step the program demanded by Jewish leaders in Israel and the United States immediately after September 11th. I remember especially well former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stating that the United States must not stop with finding and punishing those responsible for the September 11th attack, but it must eliminate every government that might conceivably permit hostile elements to operate from its territory. And he had in mind specifically Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. We must eliminate every possibility for future terrorism, he demanded, and we must do it now. Jewish organizations and their neoconservative camp followers in this country made similar demands. The controlled media indicated agreement, and everyone in the Bush administration saluted and shouted, "Yes, sir," in unison. There's a famous photograph that has been given a wide circulation recently in many publications. It was taken on December 11th in the East Room of the White House during a memorial ceremony for the victims of the September 11th attack. It shows George Bush posing with his right hand over his heart as if pledging allegiance to the flag. But the only flag visible is an Israeli flag filling the entire right side of the photograph. When I first saw this rather startling photograph, I thought that the White House photographer must have inadvertently framed this picture the way he did. But certainly it was no mistake. It was a carefully posed photograph, and it was approved by the White House for release to the news media. Its message is clear. I, George Bush, pledge allegiance to Israel. I am an obedient servant of the Jews. I and my government stand ready to carry out your orders. If you haven't yet seen this photograph, you can easily find it on the Internet. I suspect that your interpretation will be the same as mine. And really, this explains many things in addition to the current war we are waging in the Middle East to replace all of the governments in that part of the world with ones more to the liking of the Jews, regardless of the cost to America. It explains why, when George Bush or anyone in his administration rages on television about how the United States will wage war against terrorism to the very end, that any government that sponsors terrorism or harbors terrorists will suffer the same fate as Afghanistan, Israel is never mentioned. The politicians and media people completely ignore the fact that Israel engages in more state-sponsored terrorism, more state-sponsored car bombings, political assassinations, and other acts of terror than any other country in the Middle East. They also ignore the fact that Israel's prime minister, Ariel Sharon, is a terrorist and a war criminal, and despite his record, whenever he comes to Washington, he is treated as an honored guest. Sharon is on the verge of having an international arrest warrant issued for him by a court in Belgium on account of his arranging the mass murder of thousands of Palestinian civilians in the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps in Lebanon in 1982. 2 weeks ago, a Lebanese Christian militia leader, Eli Hobeika, alleged to have been one of Sharon's accomplices in the 1982 massacre, met with Belgian investigators and agreed to testify against Sharon in a war crimes trial. Just 2 days after that, on January 24th, Hobeika was assassinated by a radio-controlled car bomb outside his home in Beirut, which also killed three of his bodyguards. The assassination bore all of the earmarks of a Mossad hit. A fine fellow, Sharon. Fine people, those Israelis. And there's not been a peep out of the Bush administration about this particular act of terror. And the mass media here are pretending that it didn't even happen. Bush's East Room photograph beside the Israeli flag also explains why the U.S. government maintains the pretense that it is attempting to arbitrate a peace settlement between Palestinians and Jews, while at the same time supporting the Jewish war of genocide against the Palestinians and severely condemning any effort by the Palestinians to defend themselves. Israeli Prime Minister Sharon sends out his assassination teams on a daily basis, while George Bush continues to shake his hand, hug him, and give him enormous amounts of U.S. financial and military aid. But whenever the Palestinians make any move at all to defend themselves, the Bush government echoes Sharon's demand that Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat arrest the Palestinians responsible. Arafat is in a doghouse now, shunned by every politician in Washington, because he has not been arresting enough of his own people to satisfy Sharon. When the Palestinians recently attempted to purchase a shipment of arms from Iran to defend themselves, the Bush government acted as if Arafat had been caught red-handed in a criminal act. Every Palestinian who strikes at the Jewish occupiers of his homeland, at the Jewish oppressors of his people, is denounced as a terrorist, not only by the Israelis, but also by George Bush and every other politician in Washington. 2 weeks ago, on January 27th, another of these Palestinian terrorists carried out a suicide bombing in Jerusalem, killing one Israeli and wounding 100 others. The bomber was Wafa Idris, a 27-year-old Palestinian woman who lived in Ramallah and worked as a volunteer nurse, riding in ambulances and providing emergency care in field hospitals for Palestinians wounded by Israeli soldiers. Wafa was no wild-eyed Muslim fundamentalist or fanatical Palestinian nationalist. She was not involved in politics and was not even considered to be a Muslim by her friends and family. She didn't even wear the traditional head covering for Palestinian women. She was described by everyone who knew her as a friendly, open, caring, and fun-loving young woman. She used her spare time to give free lessons in language and mathematics to children in the Ramallah refugee camp. She simply had had enough of seeing her people humiliated and brutalized and murdered by Jews. She had had enough Palestinian children die in her arms after they were shot by Israeli soldiers. She had taken care of enough Palestinian children who had lost an eye or a leg at the hands of the Israelis. She herself had been shot at repeatedly by Israeli soldiers while she was on ambulance duty and was wearing her Red Crescent uniform. And on three occasions, she had been wounded by rubber bullets. Israelis consider shooting at Palestinian medical personnel to be a sport. On January 27th, Wafa had had enough and decided to hit back. The spokesman for America's controlled media consider her a terrorist. So did George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and John Ashcroft and Dick Cheney, and all of them vow to continue their war against terrorism and against terrorists such as Wafa Idris. And the mindless TV-watching yahoos with little American flags on their cars cheer the Bush team on. To them also, Wafa was a terrorist. Well, maybe so, but let me tell you, when America fights against idealistic young women like Wafa Idris and for murderous thugs like Ariel Sharon, it should be clear to everyone but the most clueless, flag-waving yahoos that we are fighting on the wrong side. And let me tell you something else. People everywhere in the world are beginning to understand this. Not just Palestinians, not just Muslims, not just people who don't like Jews, but ordinary people everywhere who have any sort of clue about what's actually happening in the world. People everywhere who pay attention to the news and care about more than the latest ball game scores. More and more of them, like Wafa Idris, have simply had enough of Jewish lies and Jewish arrogance and Jewish bullying. They're fed up. They've had enough of the Jews using their Holocaust tales from the Second World War to excuse their behavior and silence criticism. They've had enough of Jews worming their way into everything, trying to take over everything, trying to tell everyone else what to do and what to say and what to think. They're sick of Jewish television, of Jewish corruption, of Jewish self-righteousness, of Jewish meddling. In the past, most people were inclined to give the Jews the benefit of the doubt. They were afraid of being thought anti-Semitic. But now, from India to England, from Argentina to Australia, from Brazil to Bangladesh, people have had enough of the Jews. Their patience with the Jews has run out. They want the Jewish monkey off their backs and off other people's backs too. A real shift in attitude toward Jews is taking place around the world. The funny thing is that the Jews, who usually have very sensitive antennae for what people are thinking about them, for the most part don't seem to realize now that a profound change is taking place. Maybe they're just too drunk with their own power, too impressed with the fact that they have a ring in George Bush's nose and the U.S. armed forces at their disposal. And the politicians and the others that the Jews have corrupted don't seem to realize what's happening either. But I can sense it, and many others around the world can sense it. Certainly, the Palestinians can sense it. The martyrdom of Wafa Idris has had a powerful effect on them. Women simply have not done before what she did. They left the bombing and the shooting to the men. But now thousands of Palestinian women vow that they will follow in Wafa's footsteps. She has become a Palestinian superhero, a model for Palestinian women to emulate. Huge posters of her have appeared all over Palestine. There will be more martyrs like Wafa Idris, many more, and disgust with the Jews will continue to grow around the world. The problem for the Jews is not just that the number of Palestinians they have to worry about attacking them suddenly has doubled. It's not just that the Palestinians have gained new inspiration and new determination. The Jews' problem goes beyond the Middle East. In occupied Palestine, the Jews will respond to the Palestinians with more repression, more brutality, more arrests and torture and assassinations. Ariel Sharon may have his Mossad murder squads knock off other witnesses who might testify against him in a war crimes trial. But around the world, the hostility against the Jews will continue growing. The mere fact that the government of Belgium is moving to put the Prime Minister of Israel on trial for genocide, that Belgium is moving against the very symbol of Jewish power and influence in the world, is a remarkable phenomenon in itself. That couldn't have happened a few years ago. It couldn't happen in the United States today, of course. But it is happening in Belgium, and similar developments will occur elsewhere. The Jews will try to counter this by cranking out more Holocaust films from Hollywood, by forcing all school children to read The Diary of Anne Frank and go on field trips to the nearest Holocaust memorial. And that will work to keep the Yahoos and most of the other lemmings in line. And certainly the politicians will continue to take orders from the Jews as long as the Jews continue to own or control most of the mass media of news and entertainment. George Bush will continue his blather about the axis of evil and will denounce as evil any country or government or group or individual that refuses to take orders and will threaten to annihilate anyone he designates as evil with all of the high-tech military might at his disposal. But in the long run, none of that will be enough. No matter how many witnesses to his crimes Ariel Sharon orders murdered, awareness of those crimes will continue to spread. More people today are willing to talk about Sharon's genocide than were willing to do so 5 years ago. No matter how many cruise missiles George Bush fires at Iraqis or Iranians or others who won't knuckle under, hatred against the United States and Israel will only grow, and patriots everywhere who value the freedom and independence of their people will come to see America as the greatest threat to that freedom and independence. No matter how often the controlled news media denounce martyrs like Wafa Idris as terrorists, more and more people everywhere will understand who the real terrorists are. No matter how often George Bush denounces uncooperative patriots in other countries as evil, more and more people around the world will know that it is he and his associates and the Jews for whom they work that are really evil. No matter how many new laws are passed forbidding people from criticizing Jews or exposing their lies under the guise of outlawing hate, more and more young people everywhere will see the Jews for the deceivers and corruptors and destroyers that they are. Part of the reason that the Jews and their camp followers will fail is Wafa Idris. And part of the reason is that it's harder for them to keep secrets now than it was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I might have had all sorts of important information, but it would have been much more difficult for me to share that information with you. There was no internet, and generally the media of mass communication were accessible only to the very wealthy. Now I am able to distribute information and ideas to you and to the public through a dozen different media, through leaflets and stickers and pamphlets and posters and hundreds of books and other printed materials, and through recorded telephone messages, and through music and video compact discs and tapes, and through AM and shortwave broadcasting, and through the internet. Part of the reason they will fail is arrogance. The Jews have never been more arrogant and obnoxious than they are today. They believe that it is no longer necessary for them to be cautious. The politicians who take orders from them seem to believe the same thing. They believe that they can do anything they want and then lie their way out of it if they're caught. They believe that as long as they have the baseball fans and the Sally soccer moms and the mass media on their side, as long as they can count on the votes of the lemmings and the support of the Jews, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about them. Remember Bill Clinton, who thought that he could lie and charm his way out of anything? Remember George Bush's September 11th lie that America was attacked only because Osama bin Laden hates our freedom, and that the attack certainly had nothing to do with the U.S. support of Israel's aggression in the Middle East? The Jews and the politicians don't expect intelligent people to believe their lies. All they care is that the lemmings believe them. But believe me, in the long run, it does matter what intelligent and responsible and honest and patriotic people believe. And part of the reason is that the danger to you and to me and to the whole world of letting the Jews and their gangster underlings continue to run wild, bombing nations into submission, replacing governments that refuse to take orders, passing laws to stifle any criticism of their behavior, destroying populations and cultures with their insane immigration policies, greedily grabbing for more and more control, poisoning the minds and souls of young people everywhere with their television propaganda, and lying about everything. The danger of all this is more apparent now than it ever was, more imminent, more threatening. In the past, we all tended to ignore it, to put off doing anything about it as long as we could. But there is a growing understanding that we can't continue to put it off and evade the consequences. We must act against the Jews and the gangsters. September 11th helped to convince us of that. We are in for some unpleasant times. The fighting will be dirty on both sides. There will be no Geneva Convention rules. The gangsters will claim that their opponents, being evil, are not entitled to humane treatment. There will be more torture and more shooting of unarmed prisoners. The sort of cold-blooded murders carried out by the U.S. military at Oruzgan near Kandahar 2 weeks ago will become much more common and will be justified by the Bush gang and their successors on the basis that the people who were shot were evil. Indeed, we wouldn't even have heard about the January 24th Oruzgan massacre if Bush's troops hadn't made a mistake and accidentally slaughtered their own collaborators. And no matter how atrocious things become, the Yahoos will continue to wave their flags and do what they're told. Yes, things will be very nasty for a while, and much that is good will be lost. But ultimately, the Jews and their collaborators will be destroyed, and there will come a time to begin rebuilding. We will build a saner, cleaner, more beautiful world. Let's begin preparing for that now. Let me hear from you. And thanks for being with me again today.